Tonight's scripture reading will be found in Philippians 4, 15 through 17. Philippians 4, 15 through 17. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account.
Well, this evening we're thankful for that Violet Shanahan is with us tonight. And just by chance, her parents came with her. And Scott and Rebecca are with her. If you don't know Violet, she's the two-year-old sitting down here. And if you're on Facebook, you've probably seen many pictures of Violet in all kinds of different attire and all kinds of things. She's a very expressive young lady already. We've learned a lot about Violet through Facebook if you're on there. If you're not friends with Scott on Facebook, you can look him up and you can learn a lot. But we are thankful for Scott and Rebecca and Violet being here. I think the last time you were here, she wasn't. So we are glad to meet her in person at this time. We're thankful for Scott. Maybe we're hoping that this parenting thing is going to bring Scott out of his shell. You know, he's kind of been a reserved person. No, that kidding. Scott has a great vigor about the work in Micronesia. We're thankful for our association with Scott through the years and the ability to help out with that work. And, well, help out with that work. I said that wrong. It's our work, right? In that way, I'm supposed to say that. I know Scott's the one that always reminds us it's our work as we help to help through the years participating in that. So I'm not going to take more of his time other than we have met with the family that's going to be taking over the work. The Parkers visited with us, and some of y'all met them. It's been a little while since they were here, but they're going to be the ones that are actually, and Scott will probably give us a little more details in that in his presentation about their transitioning in this work. But we're thankful for Scott being here and their work in Micronesia, and he'll give us an update on how things are going there. Scott?
Sochik mau kasaleli amanko. That means good evening and hello to all of you. We are so glad to be here. I'm trying to start off quiet, and then maybe I'll get louder if I need to. But that's about as quiet as I get, what you just heard. So we are so glad to be here at Avondale. That was great singing. I'm really blessed tonight not only to have my wife and daughter with me, but my brother and three of my nephews are there. They look just like me. And I was sitting in front of Jacob. And I've known Jacob since he was 3 years old, and wow, he has really developed a great singing voice, and that was just really awesome to sit and hear him from 3 years old all the way up till now. He's 27, 28 now, something like that, I don't know. No, 18, 17, somewhere in that neighborhood. He's getting there, but I love them, and I love you all, and I'm so thankful for you having me here tonight. We just got into the States on Thursday, so we're still a little bit jet-lagged. If I happen to fall asleep during the presentation, y'all just get up and go on home, and I'll wake up and figure it out later, okay? Or you can wait till I wake up. It's up to you. We're here to talk about Micronesia for the Master, and we have been doing this now for 10 years. We've been on the field in Pohnpei, and you have been working with us. You have been doing this work for 10 years. It's been a great 10 years. We left on August 3rd, 2005. We arrived there, I believe it was August 6, 2005, so we've just passed our 10-year anniversary. As Jamie said, you've met with the Parker family. I'll have more to say about them. Not this Parker family, another Parker family. No relation, I think. But I'll have more to say about that in a little while. Rebecca and I and Violet will be in Pohnpei for about another year and a half. So we will be in Pohnpei for 12 years when it's all said and done, Lord willing. We, like I said, we left. That was taken on August 3rd, 2005. Look how young we looked. We thought we were old. We were so young. Everybody in that picture looks young, except for my dad. He's looked old since he was 12. So it didn't age great. Anyway, I'm kidding. And hopefully he'll never hear that. But we were just so young and just so excited. And we did not know what the future would hold. But we got on that airplane, and that was it. That's the plane that took us most of the way. That took us as far as Hawaii, and then we had to go the rest of the way. And when we got there, we were greeted by some of the brethren. These folks, some of them aren't even in Pohnpei anymore. It's just been a long time. This picture was taken the very first Sunday we were there. This was the group that gathered. We arrived in Pompeii on a Saturday. This was the very next day, the very next Sunday. And you can see just all these kids are grown up now. The boy on the left here, the picture's not blurry. He's just out of focus most of the time. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what happened with him, but everybody else looked okay. Some of these people don't live in Pompeii anymore. At least one or two is no longer living. They've passed on. It's just 10 years. A lot happens in 10 years. And it's been so exciting. And I want to talk to you about some of what's been going on in the last 2 years and some of what's been going on over all those 10 years. But it's been 2 years since we've been back. Violet was here that time. We just, not all the way. So she was on the way, I guess we could say. It's been a great, great 10 years. Over those 10 years, there have been many changes. Many changes. I showed you the picture of the airplane, Continental. They don't exist anymore. I think I had a Palm Pilot when we left for Pompeii 10 years ago. And I see some of the kids going, Palm Pilot? What on earth is that? We didn't have Facebook 10 years ago, which, yes, Violet is heavily focused on Facebook there. There's one or two pictures an hour of Violet on Facebook. So, and you can follow me and you'll fall in love with her, I'm sure. But that didn't exist. Skype didn't exist 10 years ago. So many things that didn't change that have changed. But there are some things that remain the same, no matter what. One of those things is our zeal, our excitement for Pompeii. We actually first went to Pompeii in October of 2003. So it's been almost 12 years. We went on a survey trip. And ever since then, we've just been excited for Pompeii. We love this little bitty island. It's just a small island, and we can get tired of it at times, and things get on our nerves sometimes, but we love it. It's just a great place. It's a beautiful place, beautiful people. Rebecca, Violet, and I, we live, the main town on Pompeii, of Colonia, is right here. Colonia is roughly the size of your parking lot. It's the main town. And Rebecca, Violet, and I live over in this, right around there, I think, is where we live. And you can drive from there if you want to leave our house and get back to our house. You can go this way, and it's only about 60 miles. It takes a little while because you have to drive slow, but it's a really small little place. So you sometimes want to get away. You sometimes want to escape. But even in those times, we love it. And we're so blessed to be able to live there. And you have been the people that have made that possible, and we're so thankful to you for that. Our zeal for Pompeii has not changed. Our love for Pompeians has not changed. We just love these people. They're just good people. They're friendly. They're loving. They're industrious. This family out there in their little canoe, you know, they couldn't afford a boat with a motor. They just dug a canoe out of a tree, and they still can do a lot of those things. They'll do this all by hand. And it's just amazing some of the things they do. One of the very first things we ever did when we arrived in Pompeii is we went to a funeral. And a funeral is a big feast in Pompeii. And they like feasting in Pompeii. They just love it. And one of the things you do when you go to a feast is you get leftovers. Well, they don't have foam plates or anything like that. So what they do, this guy, he just went over to a tree, cut down a leaf, folded that basket up in like a minute, and then gave us our food to take home. It's amazing. They're very generous people, considering they don't have very much. And they're just so clever and so industrious. Sometimes in Pompeii, you see things that you might not see in America. When's the last time you saw a group of guys carrying a caged pig on their shoulders down the road? Doesn't happen that much here in America, does it? I'm willing to bet that none of you, except for maybe Leonard and definitely Rebecca, but Leonard, who's been to Pompeii before, I bet none of you have ever seen a pig in the trunk of a car being transported. But that's what they do. That's how they move pigs around in Pompeii, in the trunk of a car. Now, what's funny about that is Rebecca and I have a little dog named Tiki, and we take her for walks sometimes, and she rides in the car to go for a walk. And they just crack up. They think that's the craziest thing, that you would have a dog in a car. But a pig in the trunk of a car is nothing. That's just normal for them. It's just really weird, the differences in culture. But we love these people, and when we do leave, we are going to miss it. It's going to be awful. We had a hard time leaving just the other day, and we're going to be back in 3 months. And when we do finally leave, that's going to be a lot of boo-hooing. Their culture, very rich culture. They have some traditional dancing they do that's just beautiful, and it's really interesting. It's not seductive in any way. It just tells a story. And it's a really interesting, neat thing. And we just love it. We love the language. We love the culture. None of that has changed. Pompey's need for the gospel has not changed. Well, nobody's need for the gospel has changed, has it? Not for 2,000 years. We all need the gospel. Pompey particularly so. There's a lot of social issues there. One is alcoholism. Menwai, that's you and I. We are Menwai. Menwai has come to mean Americans. It really means foreigners. It meant all foreigners at one time, but it's come to mean Americans. But the literal meaning of Menwai is sneaky people. That's what they call us. We're the sneaky people. And one of the things that we snuck in when we went there long, long ago, some of our forebears, was alcohol. And boy, I really wish that Pompeians had never heard of that, because they drink it. And if they can afford it, and they'll just drink and drink and drink, and then that causes all kinds of other problems, causes fights and violence and domestic violence, and it's just terrible. And it's just rampant in Pompeii. Alcoholism, it's a major, major issue. There's an issue of prostitution in Pompeii. We also, one of the things that we did, sneaky people, we introduced them to a cash economy. You know, they used to just live off the land, and they were doing just fine. And then we introduced money to them, and now they all want money, and they all need money, and they don't have it. Minimum wage in Pompeii is $1.35 an hour, and everything there is more expensive than it is here. Gas is $5 a gallon. I think it's about $2 here right now. A dozen eggs might be, what, $3 for a dozen here? That's $6 in Pompeii. So $1.35 an hour. Most people will make around $2 an hour, but then all those expenses are more. So what do? Some of them turn to prostitution. Some of them turn their own daughters out to prostitution. And we get these ships that come in with these fishermen, and the ladies, they'll say, you know, you say, what happened to this girl? Where is she? She's gone to the ships. That means she's gone to sell herself. And it's just terrible. They need the gospel. Abuse, I've already mentioned some, with domestic violence as far as alcoholism is concerned. But that even domestic violence even happens without alcohol. It's just bad. We've experienced some of that in the church. I've just had to go and talk to a brother about it. He was doing his wife wrong. And I went and talked to him about it, and he fessed up immediately. That's the good news. I said, you know, is it true what she's saying, that you're doing these things? And he said, yeah. He said, I just don't know why. I just can't help it. I said, well, yes, you can. You need to repent. And we talked for a while, and we prayed, and things have gotten some better. But abuse is a major problem in Pompeii. Poverty is a major problem. My family, and I'm not saying this to show off or anything like that, but we grew up, by U.S. standards, we grew up pretty poor. There was a while where we had to live with family, that we didn't have a place to stay. We didn't have a lot of things. We were very wealthy compared to Pompeians. I said $2 an hour for many of them. They go hungry a lot of the times. Now, some of that has to do with their own problems. They don't necessarily always have to go hungry, because there's ample food around growing, and sometimes they're just kind of lazy about getting it. But there is a lot of poverty. They do have a lot of needs. You all have helped us. Ramunda, I haven't seen her. I'm not sure if she's here, but her and her family have helped with some of that, sending flip-flops over to us. And we did a flip-flop giveaway just the other day before I came, and it was a great success. And I'm hoping I see Ramunda. I don't see her yet, and she hasn't raised her hand or anything. So I want to thank her and her family for that. Another big problem that we have in Pompeii is suicide, a big social issue. That's another thing that we foreigners brought to them. Before the 1950s, the 1960s, suicide was unheard of in Pompeii and Micronesia, and now it's just constant. Rebecca and I, just this past year, there was another young lady, maybe 15, 16 years old, that we know that committed suicide. The year before, it was a young man, 15, 16 years old. So every few months, you hear about somebody committing suicide. Our neighbor committed suicide. That was maybe 3 years ago. It's just terrible. And it has a lot to do with the social changes that we have brought in. And I'm not trying to say that we're bad people, and that I think we're very well intentioned, and we think that our lifestyle is great, but it does have consequences, and it can be hard to deal with. So they need the gospel. That's what they need. The good